CliffCentral.com.
She works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
She works so hard. You look like you are either on your way to gym or you've just got back from gym.
Just got out the swimming pool, swimming costumes still on. Yeah, 2 kilometers we swam this morning. We're in full preparation for our race on the 30th of September.
What is this race you're doing?
The Half Ironman. Remember, I told you, in Portugal, in Cascais.
Yes. And then you laughed at me. Yeah, well, I laughed.
Fabulous.
No pictures, Ben. Stop that right now.
But
Anthea, look at this.
I'm taking a picture of Gareth.
Okay.
Anthea, I'm ready to carry your bags, carry your goggles, give you water, whatever
you
need.
Mind.
Fabulous. Let's all go to Portugal.
We have a deal.
Half Ironman, look at you. So what's going on in the economy at the moment?
Yeah, so the Turkey drama is still playing out.
Erdogan, what's the Turkey drama?
Well, Erdogan insisting that the rest... Now, all we need is an American president to pardon her Thanksgiving.
So, Erdogan of Turkey, what's he done?
President Erdogan insisting that the U.S. is still waging economic war on him. It really has become a tit-for-tat situation. Erdogan, earlier on in this month, appointed his son-in-law as the finance minister, started interfering in the central bank, insisted that the central bank shouldn't raise interest rates. He called it the mother and father of all evil, higher interest rates. But we all know that sometimes a country needs higher interest rates to contain inflation, right? So things have gone really pear-shaped over there.
It usually happens when you appoint a family member to be finance minister. It's not a good sign.
No. Unfortunately for us, of course, we all get thrown into this emerging markets bucket, and we are definitely an emerging economy. The rand hit 15 against the US dollar twice last week. I see it's pulled back nicely this morning. It's 14.68 against the dollar. I mean, that was helped a little bit by a Moody's report that said South Africa's looking at fiscal slippage, additional fiscal slippage of around 0.4% of GDP.
Fiscal slippage, Anthea, that is your, out of your top five phrases, that's got to be top of the pops. You've had some classics for the fiscal slippage.
Reminds me of that Harry Enfield pharmacist.
Harry Enfield pharmacist.
He might say, "Oh, I see you've had some fiscal slippage."
I've got something for that.
Yeah.
Take this cream.
Rub this cream all over your fiscal slippage and you'll be much better by tomorrow. So hang on, what is it saying about our, what is fiscal slippage?
So that's our deficit or our, what's the opposite of deficit?
Surplus,
thank you. to GDP. So we're looking at we were expecting 3.6 to 4% this year. And Moody's are saying, yes, it's not looking good. Our deficit will increase, but they think that we'll be able to stabilize our debt at about 60% of GDP, and we'll be able to return to 3.5% deficit in 2020. So all eyes, I think, starting now on the October medium-term budget speech.
Right.
Yeah. And then, of course, just on the macroeconomics, we also had a big bank release a report last week saying that we are one of two emerging markets that possibly could be the next big domino to fall, because in March it was, Argentina already had to get an IMF bailout. Mm. Now Turkey, you know, the Turkish lira has depreciated by, I think it's 35% already this year.
Right.
It's bad. And they're saying South Africa and Brazil are next if we're not careful. And really, the things that they're citing, first of all, populist politics. Shall I say that again? Populist politics. The fact that we have a large current account deficit.
Let's just be very clear about that. There is a cost for this kind of nonsense.
Absolutely. If you're going to promise and change constitution and make promises that you really don't have a budget to meet, then definitely there's a cost to it. As it is, we already have high external debt exposure. And foreigners own, this is another one of the things they cited, that foreigners own a large percentage of our debt. So in South Africa, it's 40%, which I didn't think it was that large. It's not small. And if they decide that they don't like South Africa, they'll sell it, and then we're in trouble.
Sure.
So it's all South Africa on a knife's edge, as usual. We're so used to it,
what,
right?
What happens because remember R.W. Johnson sketched the scenario where if South Africa deteriorates in terms of our economy to the degree where we need an IMF bailout, that a lot of very unpleasant things come into play. I mean, I'd like to be more informed. I'll go and reread what he wrote about it. But it does seem to me that that's pretty much when the shit hits the fan.
I think that's when you lose control of your country's budget, basically, because the IMF steps in and says, right, austerity measures now in place, and you know what happens then, right? You can't expand, you can't build bridges, you can't, no social spending, government will have to cut down, so maybe it's not such a bad thing. And really, you're just not in control of your economy anymore, and you're paying huge amounts of money flowing out of the country, which... you needed
debt.
To borrow, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And then our boy Elon Musk is a marked man again because the SEC are officially investigating him, finally, because of his tweets saying that he was going to take the company private when the share was trading at $360, and he was going to take it private at $420 a share. By the way, I didn't figure this out until this week. 420? Anybody else get it?
Yeah, like high, yeah.
Yeah, no. So Leo and Henry were laughing at me the other day because I was like, hey, I read this article that said this. And they were saying, well, maybe he was a little bit high when he tweeted.
But you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because it's kind of insider trading?
It's insider trading, for sure. Absolutely. Imagine if you owned Tesla, or you didn't own Tesla shares, and it was trading at $360, and Elon Musk said, I will pay you $420 a share for your share, you'd go and buy them. You'd go and buy them all the way up to $420 or $419, because you know any differential is a profit.
Hmm.
So he was pushing his share higher, basically. He, of course, went on TV in an interview in tears, crying, saying he's under pressure, he's been taking Ambien because he can't sleep, life's terrible, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, when you're that rich, you cannot play the sympathy card.
I saw him arguing with Arianna Huffington, who's like become the world's biggest sleep activist. And she was saying, Elon, you have to go to tell people you missed the morning. She speaks like that.
Oh.
She goes, Elon.
She needs sleep.
She needs a lot of She was saying, you can't do this. It's bad for you. The Ambien, you sleeplessness. You can't run a company like this. You can't let your workers work like this. So he replied as like, oh, I've just got back from the factory. Now I'm exhausted. It's either failure or success. Ford and Tesla, the only two American car companies that turned a profit, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
So he's not being friendly with anybody either.
And nobody wants to see a CEO of a big listed company act like that.
No.
And so his share's under pressure again.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then the biggest news on the JSE last week was the reporting of a Chinese company, Tencent, which sent Naspers down 8%, which of course is a problem because Naspers is now 22% of the JSE. One share is 1/5 of the JSE. It's shocking. The problem with Tencent, gross margins were under pressure, operating expenses were up, so those are moving exactly in the wrong direction. And most of those expenses were because of increased sales and marketing. So Tencent made only, see here, this number's for you, $2.6 billion of revenue, net income, in the last 3 months. It's shocking, right?
Okay.
A company in trouble. Anyway, they were told by authorities to remove a game called Monster Hunter because the authorities had received a significant amount of complaints, they said.
What, Monster Hunter? Is it bad?
Yeah, it's quite violent.
Oh.
And then their other game they recently released, PUBG, Player Unknown's Battleground. Please tell me you guys have tried it.
No.
Oh, come on.
Are we missing out on something?
Oh, yes. I have not played games in decades. And this is... listen... In the name of research, that was 2 hours of my life.
Player missing?
PUBG. Player Unknown's Battleground.
Player missing. Got it so wrong.
Something's missing.
All right, so we've got to play this game.
But the problem is that the Chinese government have not allowed Tencent to generate revenue from it yet, and they've not given the green light to introduce the desktop version. So this is their next... big money spinner. And the problem with Tencent, of course, is that it's always been a social media and a gaming platform, and they're now moving into mobile money. So the analysts are wondering what's going to happen to the company. Yeah.
Well, are you wondering? Because you were always quite bullish on them.
Oh, I definitely am, yes. I'm very nervous. you know, it makes up such a large portion of Tencent. And even though Tencent, NicePass, and NicePass is trading at a discount, but these companies are so volatile, you have to worry. The other problem with Tencent is that the Chinese government said that in their mobile money operating business, they weren't allowed to charge interest in the differential between when they take money from a client and they pay it on. So this is like mobile payments, right? So if you want to pay me through a mobile platform, the company takes your money, 2 days later pays me. That 2 days worth of interest adds up to a lot of money if you're adding billions of rands or dollars in their case.
Right.
And so the Chinese government has said they have to stop that. So of course that's a revenue stream that will be...
This Chinese government is so capitalist. I like it. They really like are. They totally understand capitalism. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, then a couple of local companies reported: Standard Bank, Goldfields, Exxaro, City Lodge, and really it really is showing that South Africa the economy is under huge amounts of pressure. I mean, Standard Bank diluted headline earnings per share was up 5%, really, really nothing. Headline earnings were down in South Africa by 3%. That's pretty bad. Mm. Really, they were saved. Standard Bank was saved by their operations on the rest of the continent. Goldfields, South Deep, is restructuring, and it's an absolute disaster. The only good company that reported was Exxaro. And really, with them, it was a structuring thing. They'd previously done very well. They managed to contain costs much earlier on in the downturn of the commodity cycle.
Yeah.
And so now, yeah, playing, you know, a decent dividend, managing their Kumba operations very well. Revenue up 14%. City Lodge is a shocking one because those hotels went from an occupancy rate of 65% to 59%. And it doesn't seem a lot, but it's actually huge. And all it's saying, what it's pointing to, because it's a business person's hotel, City Lodge, is that businesses and business confidence is flagging and that people are not traveling to go and get new or take advantage of new business opportunities. And that's really kind of the shame of it. We need to do something about this economy, except I've been saying that for 2 years now.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah, it would.
What happened to the Ramaphosa? And our finance minister, dead quiet, which is what you want from a finance minister, let's be fair, after all the grandstanding of the previous one.
He's prepping his October medium budget speech.
That's
right?
A lot of time to prep.
Who is still the finance minister?
You see?
No, I'm being serious. I just thought
about it now.
Grandstanding, who's the new one then?
I can't tell you.
Is there one?
Of course.
Nklantlanene, isn't it?
Of course we have. Are you joking?
whose fiscal leakage is are we talking
fiscal
about?
Fiscal slippage. No.
So Nklantlanene has been very quiet, and I'm saying that's what you want in a finance minister. Oh, okay. But this economy kind of needs someone to say, here are the guidelines that we should follow if we're going to try to correct things that are going wrong. Anyway, there's nothing we can do about it. From our mouths to their ears, let's hope.
Indeed. CliffCentral.com.